Good morning and welcome to Mountain Money. This is Larry Warren along with my co-host Doug Wells, and we're going to talk about business this morning, as we always do, and about fast-growing businesses. And we'll be talking about business large and small. We'll be calling an author in San Francisco who has a successful business, and we'll also be talking with two local guests, Devin Thorpe, president of the Mountain West Capital Network, and Kurt Gentry, who is vice president of digital services at Radiate Media in Salt Lake, which is Utah's fastest growing company. We'll be talking about how they've grown to where they are and about the Mountain West Capital Network in the first half of the show. And Doug, you heard the familiar hum of snow guns going.
I missed that, but it doesn't surprise me.
Well, you needed to roll your window down, even though it was about 20 degrees, but it's going down to 14 tonight, so the weather has turned. The snow is flying either from the sky or snow guns. And
well, that's what life they like, is, as long as there's a cold night.
Life
that's
is
all,
good.
That's all it takes. Yes. And speaking of fast-growing companies, our second guest is going to be Ido Leffler. He is the co-author, along with his business partner, Lance Kalesh. They wrote a book called Get Big Fast and Do More Good. And it's really a story about two young men with a lot of optimism, hard work, and a little bit of a chutzpah that took an idea and turned it into a worldwide brand. Larry, you and I probably aren't the target market. They're natural beauty products.
I have not spent a lot of time in the skincare aisle.
But it's they founded Yes to Carrots, Yes to Cucumbers, Yes to Tomatoes, and Yes to other vegetables and fruits. It's a fascinating story. They tell it well, and I'm looking forward to the conversation. You'll want to stay tuned for both conversations. You're listening to Mountain Money on KPCW, and we'll be back in a minute.
This is Cindy with KPCW Radio. Our Community Day of Giving, Live PC, Give PC, is right around the corner. It is our hope that you consider donating to KPCW on this day. Did you know that KPCW provides nearly $500,000 annually in free public service announcements to the nonprofit community of Summit and Wasatch County? Only in Park City, only on KPCW. Please consider donating to all area nonprofits by donating to KPCW to fund our open door policy on November 8th.
Hi, this is Steve Roney with Prudential Utah Real Estate, a proud supporter of KPCW. With more than 100 sales associates and 14 gallery or ski-in offices in Park City, Prudential Utah can help you with your residential or commercial real estate needs. More information at pru-utah.com or with the Prudential Utah mobile search app.
And welcome back to Mountain Money, and we're pleased to have back in the studio, he was here a year ago, Devin Thorpe, president of Mountain West Capital Network. That's not a company per se, it's more a volunteer job that recognizes businesses that are growing in Utah. They've recently had a awards luncheon, and the big prize for fastest growing company went to Radiate Media, and we have Kurt Gentry, the vice president for digital at Radiate, in the studio as well. So welcome, gentlemen. And Kevin, why don't you, or Devin, why don't you start and tell us what's the purpose of the Mountain West Capital Network, both in this recognition program and year-round?
Well, thank you very much. It's an honor to be here with you, Larry. Appreciate the time. The Mountain West Capital Network has been around for almost 30 years, and for the last nearly 20, one of the biggest, most important things we do each year is to recognize the fastest-growing companies in Utah at our Utah 100 event. And the last 2 years, 2 years in a row, Radiate Media has won that event.
And that's unusual, isn't it? Because a fast-growing company really has that spurt that is measurable at one point in its life cycle.
That's right. What we see year after year after year is that the growth rate required to be recognized as the fastest growing company over the last 5 years is not sustainable. It's just a company needs to grow about 100-fold to win this recognition each year. And to do that consistently, to maintain that growth rate for an extra year into year six, essentially, to get that 2 years in a row is well, we've never seen it before now. So it is a big deal, and suggests that Radiate Media has grown very dramatically over the last not just 5 years but 6 years.
So, Kurt Gentry, let's talk a little bit about what Radiate Media is and what's driving its growth. Are you a one of a kind media solution?
Well, we like to think we are, of course. You know, the fact of the matter is we really have kind of two divisions within the company. One is broadcast. We do traditional broadcast content, radio and television, where we focus really on short form, so 15-second avails that we do all over the country that we create by providing traffic, news, and weather to affiliates like yourself, more in the commercial sector. We have that division that provides that information, and in exchange we take our airtime and we barter it out. The second part of our company is really this innovative space, which is the digital. And we've spent the last many years to actually some of the origin of the company started in that digital space. And our goal over the last 2 years has really been focused on a new product that we call Radiate 360.
Well, first let me add my congratulations to Radiate Media and my thanks for the Mountain West Venture Capital Association. You guys do some good work. It's important work because I think one of the things that makes it hard for a company to grow is access to capital. I know that's one of the things the association does. So thanks for the help. And in addition to congratulations to Radiate, also congratulations, speaking of capital, to the Park City Angels, because Radiate started off as Matchbin. And the Park City Angels, which is a local investor group here, were really some of the first non-family and friends that invested in the company. And the Park City Angels, my company included, invested when Matchbin was doing about $500,000 in revenue. So that's quite spectacular growth. Why do you think they've – and it's been a long journey, right? I think
it
this was 6 or 7
journey.
Years
and we
ago.
We thank you for that, by the way.
We've participated in rounds further down the road as well. What do you think has been – so it's you think of these types of companies coming out of the Bay Area. You think of them maybe more naturally coming out of the East Coast, New York City, kind of the media capital. Why do you think a company here in Salt Lake City has been able to – Salt Lake City, Park City, Summit County has been able to succeed?
Well, I do really think that we have a unique economy and certainly a unique workforce. I was just down in Lehigh a few days ago. That, you know, Silicon Slopes, I think, is becoming a reality for Utah. Mm-hmm. I have associates and family, actually, that work in Silicon Valley, and the cost of really innovating there has just become so exorbitant that I think we're seeing a great opportunity in Utah where the cost of living and the quality of the workforce is so high. It's pushing a lot of innovation and a lot of real, what I would think, some of the titans in the industry this direction, some of the great thinkers. And I like to be counted. I think we're counted amongst that, people who are trying to find innovative ways of taking technology and making it workable and doable in day-to-day business.
So talk about NavTech, the product that's fueling your growth.
Well, you're probably referring to the broadcast side of what we do. So we're the second largest short form, 15-second type inventory on radio and television. We're the second largest network in the country. There's only one other competitor. It's called Total Traffic in the space. So we provide a lot of really very relevant content, which we all know content is king, especially in this industry of broadcast. That has really helped spur a lot of our growth. NavTech purchased the interest of traffic.com years ago because they were interested in the navigation of the smartphone in relationship to traffic and traffic movement. As we had an opportunity to take that entity away and grow it, we then realized there was great opportunity in providing detailed traffic information to listeners like the ones that are listening in today, and also being able to connect that to really day-to-day business operations. So once we've confined people on the move, there's a lot we can motivate them to do while they're moving.
And that short-form advertising is kind of the cash cow, if you will, kind of a stable.
It's
growing.
Now, yeah.
It's growing, but not as much as some other areas. You head up the part of Radiate's company that is kind of its future, is kind of its growth. Talk
right.
to us about what that endeavor is.
So while we all believe in traditional media, and I think having been in traditional media for many years, I have a great love and passion for it, there's no question that the digital space is taking over. Your mobile phone has really become your microcomputer that's in your hand and really helps you navigate life, as it were. And so we saw a great opportunity to take so many of the tremendous technologies in the digital space for small business, whether it was building their website to managing their reputation online to making sure that they were properly found on mobile devices, which we call directory management. We found a way to bring all of that together into one single platform so that a local business doesn't have to go to 10 or 20 different locations to navigate this digital marketing. They can go to one single space, a unified structure. And that really is what we believe will fuel our future growth because the need is so great out there.
And what's interesting about that is that was actually Matchbin's original vision.
It was.
It wasn't the short form advertising. It was really this growth vehicle now. But sometimes, and Larry, we talk about this a lot, you have to pivot along the way in order to get the base and the core in place so that you ultimately can implement your vision.
Innovation has its cost. I mean, it's very difficult and it takes patience. And when you're undercapitalized or you're working in a space that has a high burn rate like digital does at first, you need something to stabilize, and the traffic division was that opportunity.
And what you've found is a phrase you have that I love, digital guilt, that everybody needs to be
right
in the digital space, but they're busy running businesses, and they feel guilty that they're not doing the right thing or doing enough of it, and that's where you come in.
Yeah, since launching Radiate 360, which again is this unified platform of being able to do all your digital marketing in one place, since launching that, we've talked to thousands of businesses, and I've even conducted some of the workshops because you want to get very down to, you know, down to the street level and find out what businesses are saying. And it is amazing to me that the number one thing that people in business say is, I don't have the time. And the number two is, I can't remember my username and my password. If I could remember those two things to all these different digital ideas, I would go after it. So I call it digital guilt. They know they're supposed to be there. They just don't have the time and the energy for it.
So give us some examples. We just had Hans Fuge, owner of Grub Steakhouse, in the studio talking to Leslie before our show. Larry, a couple months ago, we had two young kids. I think it was Jib Brands, snow, 9 and 10-year-old kids,
yeah,
that are launching, believe it or not, a snowboard apparel brand. So
wow.
For these small business people, and Park City has a lot of small business people, how can Radiate Services help them?
That's a great question. Actually, one of our most successful markets to date has been Telluride. And the reason is because it's a very tourist-oriented economy. And so think about it. How do I find out if I'm not from the city about the best restaurants in town, about the best places to rent my equipment?
You listen to KPCW.
Well, not if you're in Telluride, but if you're
right,
here.
Right.
I mean, how do I find out about these things? You know, and the fact of the matter is that ultimately most people go now to their smart device, and that's where they find out about the local economy, the local market that they're in. And if you're not managing your digital reputation in the digital space, you're going to be left out of that conversation.
So if you're a business, what do you do for them? Do you run the websites day-to-day, update them? What's the role?
You know, we can. We can run websites. About 85% of all businesses in America have websites already. About 54% of those that have websites want to get rid of them and change them. They're not happy with them. So there's a lot of innovation and opportunity in that space. The number one thing that we do is really connectivity, which means that I can connect you to your social media so you can publish in one spot out to all your social media. The average business spends about 6 hours a week in social media. I can get that down to under an hour. You can schedule out all your posts for the entire week so you can do it on a Sunday afternoon instead of having to do it each and every day so that you're relevant.
The average business is spending six, small business, which is probably the mom and dad that own the business, is spending,
yeah,
6 hours.
That's an enormous amount.
Is that checking their live feed or is that doing things for their business?
Checking their likes on Facebook, but it should be more in depth than that. And in addition to that, there are over 500 significant review sites in America that review businesses and get reviews from customers. Most small businesses are not attacking that at all. We provide that. And lastly, directories. There are hundreds of directories out there, arguably 50 that really matter, and the rest, we make sure that all of your information is consistent across all those directories instantly, which is important, because if you were to do it on your own, it would literally take a lifetime.
And what did something like that cost a small business?
So our businesses generally will pay anywhere from $200 a month to $750 a month for our services, depending on how in-depth they go. And some of the things I haven't mentioned are added in that $750. So if you really look at it, the average business right now, if they're doing their digital media correctly, are spending between $2,000 and $5,000 a month to do it correctly. And the chances are that it's time-consuming. They've had to hire a person within their operation. Very, very costly to them.
They're probably spending that money now in different forms anyways.
That's true. And if they're not spending their energies in this space, they're going to see it negatively affect their business very, very quickly.
So, Devin, let's get you back into the conversation. So the Mountain West, it's the Venture 100, the fastest growing 100?
Yeah, the Utah 100 is the fastest growing 100 companies in the state. Calculated in terms of percentage growth over a five-year window of time.
So what were some of the other winners in that space that might be names that folks here in Park City have heard of?
Well, certainly everyone here would remember and know the Park City Group, which was on the list this year, okay. And certainly one of the great companies here in Park City. But we also recognize the 15 fastest-growing companies calculated arithmetically. That is to say, we look at those that have had the absolute largest dollar increase in revenue. And
right.
So we recognized Huntsman Corporation this year as the fastest growing company in that calculation because of their growth of several billion dollars over the time period. But on the on their base of 10
percentage wise,
yeah, it wasn't as impressive a growth percentage, but we're certainly glad to see a Utah company thriving as they are.
Especially one that's as generous with the state of Utah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. What about the mix of businesses? Is the fact that we have become the Silicon Slopes reflected in the 100 fastest growing companies? Are they mostly in that digital space?
We're seeing a lot of technology companies in that space, absolutely, not exclusively. We still see a lot of Utah's network marketing companies are on the list, and we see a variety of companies. So it isn't just tech, but we're certainly seeing a number of tech companies on the list.
Does Kurt need to look over his shoulder? Any future competitors on that list for him?
Yeah, I don't think there are any in Kurt's space directly, but it is fun to see what's coming up and bubbling up.
And what accounts for that? You know, we started with WordPerfect in Utah County, probably 30 years ago, and it's continued to feed from that first great company that started up.
Yeah, we really have seen Utah become a center of innovation in technology, but Utah has a fundamental entrepreneurial bent that is different than you see in almost any other place in the country. In some places in the United States, entrepreneur is synonymous with unemployed, and in Utah, entrepreneur is synonymous with hero. It's just a very different kind of community.
It is.
And it's a wonderful thing.
And one of the nice things here in Utah is the entrepreneurs are willing to do the hard work, hit the streets, put in hard work to get things done, right? A lot of chutzpah here. The challenge, I think, I came here from the Bay Area, is helping folks think through how do we scale this without so much hard work, without so many feet on the pavement. And I think things are getting better. On that topic, when you come up with this list and you survey the companies, Devin, do you ask them what are some of your biggest challenges for growth? I'd be interested in what the responses you heard on that might be.
We haven't formally surveyed them on that point, but certainly we're in that community. We spend a lot of time
sure.
in that community. And our sense of the challenges for growth in the tech space especially is finding people with the right skill set. You know, in Utah right now, if you're looking for a job as an engineer, there are about 1,000 of those jobs to choose from.
Let's be
right
clear,
now,
that's computer programming engineers. That's
yeah.
that's not chemical engineer. Don't go into chemical engineering because of this.
Yeah, I would say it's all engineers.
Which is my undergrad.
But yeah, if you're a coder, there are probably 1,000 jobs That's for true. You to choose from right now today, which also means that there are companies in Utah need 1,000 people they can't find today. That's probably the biggest challenge.
Yeah, and we were talking before we went on about the quality of Utah's workforce, but if there's a limiting factor, it's that there aren't enough, right?
Enough with the right skill set.
It's really the limiting factor nationwide.
Yeah, and are we teaching the right skill sets? Are we expanding community colleges and in universities to feed what clearly is the Utah's brightest star in terms of business and industry?
That's right. We have to be serious in Utah about STEM education if we want to keep seeing the growth of our Silicon Slopes community. We have to be making sure that in elementary, in intermediate school, in high schools, and in college, that we are focused on and making it easy for people to participate in STEM education.
But you're saying there's 1,000 openings for every computer engineer Utah could graduate. I mean, I would think a kid starting in middle grades would see and hear about that as a really bright career path to take.
Yeah, only about 10% of colleges across the country, and I don't know how we do in Utah. I need to know that and don't. But only about 10% of colleges across the country are teaching computer programming, and yet it is one of our most acute needs in our society. It's where the most jobs are. So clearly there is a mismatch, and I'm not sure if universities are reacting to the demand from the students or if what the problem is. But we need more people teaching and learning coding.
And the nice thing about coding is it is something you can learn online, and there are a lot of nice online tools to learn to code.
That's a great point, because one of the Utah 100 companies that we registered recognized this year is a company called Pluralsight that does exactly that. They provide online coding training for a very affordable fee. So if you wanted to devote yourself full-time to learning to code, you could go to Pluralsight and for $39 a month become a coder and get a job. It's a very affordable way.
It's not surprising they're on your list.
No.
That's a hot space. Yep.
So Kurt, as vice president of the fastest growing company in Utah, are you finding all the people you need?
No, I was actually really fascinated by what you were saying, because it's definitely the space that we struggle in. Obviously, we're very dependent upon coding. And so, one of the challenges we've had in Salt Lake is finding good quality talent in there that isn't being taken away by some of the other very innovative companies in the space. So always a challenge. Always a challenge.
So are you importing people from out of state or talking?
We haven't had to do that at this point. Perhaps in the future we'll need to as we continue to grow. I mean, there's no question that there's tremendous innovation still left to be done. But as of now, we've been able to find the talent. It's just, of course, costing you considerably more for that talent than you would want normally.
Now, Kurt, I know you spent some time in Vegas, but I don't know, before you joined Radiate, were you living here in Utah?
I was, actually. Okay. I came back to Utah after about 6 years away from Salt Lake City. I actually spent quite a bit of time, as I said, early in my broadcast career, and was involved in KSL.com, which was a kind of an innovation at the time. No one knew what to do with the internet, and we tried to figure it out. So
you did that one very, very well. I talked to my friend. I was just in the Bay Area a couple of weeks ago. My wife had her business school class reunion, and my friends were talking about Craigslist, and I'm like, in Utah, Craigslist isn't that popular because KSL.com beat them to the punch.
You should have been in the board meetings when I was trying to convince them to do free classifieds. Not an easy discussion. But here's the point of that, is that that's only been about 13 years.
Yeah.
It started in 1995 was our initial start with that. So that just shows you how quickly things progress in the space of digital or marketing, and now digital marketing. It moves very, very quickly, and it's changed everything that businesses know how to do.
This may be an off-the-wall question, but I'll ask it anyway because you're an interested observer, if only from the sidelines. And that is, we have seen newspapers in Utah shrink, and the Tribune shrinking dramatically. And the Tribune appears to be in negotiations or has completed negotiations to give up much of its interest in the printing plant that runs, that prints for both newspapers in Salt Lake, and pinning its hopes on a digital model in the future. Is that, you know, have you, you're a media guy, do you see newspapers continuing this inevitable slide and finding a new home on the internet? I mean, they started out by giving away content, and now it's tough to take away the freebies and make it a paying proposition.
Right, we call that a paywall system, and it is difficult. The problem is the question really should be, do we see readers continuing to go to digital devices to get their information versus hard copies of newspapers? And the answer to that is clearly yes. So that decision by Tribune is probably a very intelligent decision. Newspaper, oddly enough, of all three major medias, newspaper, television, radio, has probably got it more digitally figured out than any other medium. They've had to. They had to face it the earliest. And ultimately, what they do control are two things: content, local content, which is difficult and expensive to gather. And secondly, reputation with the local business. They have a strong relationship and reputation with the business, as do radio stations and as do television stations.
You know, what's interesting about this is usually the national player has a big advantage. Where in print media, I think the local player has a big advantage. Look at the Park Record. As far as I know, I have no knowledge of this. As far as I know, extremely healthy. Myself, all my neighbors, you know, it's how we get the Park Record, and KPCW is how we get our local news. So in this case, really, the local, the small mom-and-pop-owned businesses really have the model figured out better than some of these national power brands like the Washington Post and the New York Times, which is struggling for what is the model that allows us to be profitable.
Yeah, local content can never be beat. I mean, I would argue that this interview that we're doing right now would never, of course, make it to the national NPR stage, but it's much more relevant and interesting to your listeners than a national discussion on this topic. So ultimately, that local content really is going to define the future, whether it be in traditional forms or whether it be in digital forms.
Yeah, we need to wrap things up. But again, Kurt, tell us where we can learn more about Radiate Media. I presume it would be simple. Radiate Media.
Radiatemedia.com.
Imagine that. Okay.
Yeah. Radiatemedia.com.
And to learn more about Mountain West Capital Network.
Mountain West Capital Network is at mwcn.org.
And Larry, before we say goodbye, Devin, you guys put out an annual report that's really quite fascinating reading about all the different companies, where they've raised their money from.
Right.
Really is must reading for any entrepreneur.
Absolutely.
Where can entrepreneurs get this? Is it out yet?
That report comes out every spring. We'll have it out next May for the 2013 year. The 2012 book is available, and you can get a copy, arrange to get a copy from mwcn.org or view it online.
So if you're an entrepreneur and you're raising money, find a company that looks like the idea that you're going after, though it gives you some good ideas,
as
well as professional service providers, attorneys, accountants, et cetera.
All of them are listed. Yeah, that's exactly
right.
It's a great
resource.
You're right. I think that is the most valuable thing we do for our community. Apologies to the Utah 100. That deal flow book you're talking about really is the golden nugget that Mountain West Capital Network
for me. It's must reading. When it comes out, I read it every year.
Okay, thanks very much. That was Devin Pope you just heard from last, president of Mountain West Capital Network, along with Kurt Gentry, vice president for digital at Radiate Media, Utah's fastest growing company. And let's talk a little bit about the weather. We are looking for a low tonight of 14 degrees. So the snow guns are going, and they'll be running all night, a low of 16 Tuesday night and 22 Wednesday night. So, and from the sky, we have about a 30% chance of snow showers as well. So from the sky, from the snow guns, the snow is starting to fly in a ski town, and that's a good thing. And we will be back to talk with Ido Leffler, who is one of the founders of the Yes to Carrots and Yes to about every other vegetable or fruit
And you definitely want to stay brand. Tuned because they give a lot of tips and tricks about how to grow your company. So you're listening to KPC, you're listening to Mountain Money on KPCW, and we'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned.
Hola, soy Jorge, uno de los anfitriones de Cada Domingo. Escuche Cada Domingo en KPCW 91.9 FM todos los domingos en las tardes de las 7 a las 10 p.m. Tenemos música, información de la comunidad y perdidos y encontrados. Por favor, denle like o me gusta a la página Facebook de Cada Domingo. Cada Domingo, solo en Park City, solo KPCW. Hi, I'm Jorge, one of the hosts for KPCW's Cada Domingo. You can hear Cada Domingo every Sunday evening on KPCW 91.9 FM from 7 to 10 p.m., where you can hear music, community information, and lost and founds. Please like the KPCW Cada Domingo Facebook page. Cada Domingo, only in Park City, only on KPCW.
Juniper Landing is proud to support our local radio station, KPCW. Juniper Landing is a new, whole ownership townhome community located at the base of Canyons Resort, adjacent to the Waldorf Astoria Park City, with a model open daily. Our website is juniperlandingparkcity.com.
This is Craig McCarthy with the Park City Chamber Bureau. Joining the Chamber Bureau provides your business with lots of benefits, from business-to-business networking and promotional opportunities to access to our 1,000-plus membership database. Becoming a member of the Park City Chamber Bureau is a great investment for your business. Information on joining is online at visitparkcity.com or call us at 649-6100. The Park City Chamber Bureau is a nonprofit organization.
Welcome back to Mountain Money. That was a great conversation with Devin Thorpe and Kurt Gentry talking about how a local company has grown and has been recognized now 2 years in a row as one of the fastest 100 grown companies in the state of Utah. Very similar story we're going to talk to now on the air. We've got Ido Leffler. He is the co-author of Get Big Fast. It's the story of the company that he and his business partner, Lance Kalish, started, which is natural beauty products, the Yes2 brands. Listeners may be familiar with it. Ido, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So let's start first with what Yes2 brands are, and then I really want to get into the story of how you guys took this from an idea into a worldwide brand.
Great. You know, Yes2 is the maker of brands like Yes to Carrots and Yes to Cucumbers and Yes to Tomatoes, etc. And we are what is today the second largest natural beauty brand here in the U.S. We sort of aim to be the natural beauty brand that attracts a mainstream audience, and we created products that we hope people just love.
And you and your business partner, Lance, it's not like he came out of 20 years working for Maybelline and said, we've got all these contacts, let's launch a new business. Tell us kind of your backgrounds and then how you got started in this business.
Well, we're both, well, as you can probably tell from my accent, we're sort of a mix of backgrounds. So I grew up in Australia, Lance grew up in South Africa, and the two of us were in business together, helping brands develop their business strategies, but we had no real experience in the beauty industry, and we just saw a gap in the market. We were consumers first. I think that's one of the greatest ways to start a brand, that when you're looking for something in the market and you just can't find it for yourself, you can really, you know, find a niche. And we saw that there were lots of natural beauty brands on the market, but none of them appealed to us. We were these mini-driving, Apple-using people, and the other brands out there were more like IBM. They weren't necessarily something that attracted us as a consumer, and we decided to create what we hoped would be the Apple of the natural beauty world.
Well, how did two guys come up with skincare based on natural products? It just sounds like something your wives or girlfriends would have come up with, not a couple of guys.
That's exactly, and you know, fortunately, we've got wonderful wives who are very much in the mix, who are able to help us on our journey. But you know, not only are we two guys, but I'm particularly follically challenged, and we've got a really great range of hair care products. So for me, that whole notion, we were looking at something that we knew that people needed. We knew that our wives needed. We knew that we needed. In just out, whether it was a shower gel for the guys, or SPF product for the face, or a full regimen for our wives. And we had no real background in formulation at all. We found some incredible formulators around the world. And what we found more than anything, that people were just, we were really passionate about this. We thought that everybody in the world had a right to be able to use natural products, whether it was food or, in our case, skincare, and at an affordable price. And we thought that we could provide that for our families. And we were so passionate about it that people just followed in our passion.
You've written a book about it, and it's full of funny and insightful stories. And basically, here's one reviewer's bottom line is you found it takes three times as much money as you thought, three times longer than you thought to go to market, and it was one third less successful than you thought.
Pretty accurate.
so clearly, the journey is the story here.
Yeah, you know what we say. The book is called "Get Big Fast and Do More Good," but ideally, what we want people to take out of the book is that you've really got to, you know, it does take work to get these things done, but it really is about taking that journey and taking that first step. And there are really simple ways to circumvent some of the angst, some of the anxiety that comes about starting a business, and really fast-tracking that so you can get to a point where you really get to where you want your business to be, which is working for you. And today, you know, we're very fortunate that our business has been able to grow to the extent that it's grown, but we're still very humble. And remember that when we first started, we were the guys packing the FedEx boxes. We were the guys answering the phones. And what it really took was a drive, a mission, and a vision to get it done. And then we went around evangelizing it, no different to any other evangelist, going out there and just selling our dream. And people could see it in our eyes that we believed truly in what we were doing. And I think that's the most important thing for anybody starting a business, that you've truly got to believe 100% in your heart and soul that what you're doing is your destiny, effectively.
You have to believe, and you have to have a fair amount of courage and be willing to get out of your comfort zone. And as you say, every journey has its first step. And as I read your book, I would say one of your first steps really that put you on the path of success was having the courage. There was this beauty product that you respected called Fudge.
Correct, yeah.
And you were able to get the distribution rights to Fudge for Indonesia, really coming from nothing. So how does somebody without a lot of experience, without a lot of contacts in Indonesia, and you'll have to tell our listeners what Fudge is. It's a big deal to be their distributor. Talk to us about what you did and perhaps enlighten people as to why I say it takes some courage.
You know, sometimes there's various forms of courage, and I think, you know, I wasn't at the time necessarily the most, you know, out of the box thinking kind of a guy. I was a young guy in my early 20s, and what I primarily was able to do was pretend that I was more courageous than what I was. It's almost like acting courageous. And I picked up the phone, and what I did was that I was so confident on the phone, and this was purely an act at the time. I was acting so confident on the phone that the woman who had picked up the phone could not imagine that I was somebody who had no idea what I was talking about. and it was really a moment of just putting myself outside of who I really was at the time. I was very forthright. I was very polite. I was very insistent that I needed to meet this particular person. And she was, you know, she was kind enough to give me that meeting. She was almost the gatekeeper, and we talk about that a lot in the book, about there are lots of gatekeepers in order to get to where you need to go, and you've just got to know how to firstly get to those gatekeepers, and today that's not so difficult through internet and through LinkedIn to find out who those people are. That when we started, we had to sort of guess our way through it, and we had what we called a sense of urgency. which we let the person who we were meeting or that we let the person we were on the phone with know that we had a very short space of time in which to plan this meeting. So she felt that she needed to create that meeting for us, and when we came for that first meeting, we then took the next step and really presented everything that we had. When I look back at those presentations, at the time I thought they were the greatest presentations on earth. Today it looked like a four-year-old did them. But again, it came back down to we were confident, we were excited, and don't get me wrong, it's okay to get no after, for some of these meetings as well, but we have had plenty of no's over our career. But in those initial meetings, we refused to take no for an answer, and we just went, you know, as we say in Australia, hell for leather.
Now, it takes obviously a lot to be an entrepreneur, but one thing it takes is money, and we've heard all sorts of stories of garage startups and floating credit card advances to start companies. How in the world do two guys who have an idea for making skincare cream out of natural products capitalize themselves to even get started?
You know, if you even go back to our original business, that original business was run with four credit cards, and all we needed to, you know, for me, it was just about being able to afford that next plane ticket so I could go sell the dream. We were very fortunate when we started Yes2 that we quickly made contact with some fantastic people who, again, believed in our dream. However, they believed in our dream when we told them that we could get into 16 stores and grow this great beauty brand. When we received our first U.S. order, we went from 16 stores to 5,800 stores with a chain here in the U.S. called Walgreens. And at that point, we had no idea how we were going to raise that money. And we had a very short space of time in which to do it. So for lack of a better description, we went around and gave 10 I Have a Dream speeches. And we peppered that to anybody that would listen. We went and we presented, though, what we thought was a conservative plan. And every bank that we walked into and every person that we saw looked at us like we had just fallen off, off our rocker. We were completely and utterly insane as far as they were concerned until we got to one last guy, and he totally believed in our vision, totally believed in our mission, and we were very honest and open, and they're still our partners today.
And, you know, so you gave 10 I Had a Dream speeches. But you also had a contract with Walgreens, which certainly doesn't hurt when you're raising capital. And so fast forwarding a little bit, you started off in Walgreens. They had an exclusive for a period of time. You're now in Target. You're now in Walmart. And despite this success, you guys took a step back and paused and said, you know, we really need to understand our customer better. And it's one of the – you talk about it over one or two chapters, the importance – of doing these brand surveys, and you talk about a big spend and a little spend, and I thought it was good advice.
Yeah, you know, I think today what's great about the world today is that you can level the playing field. Today we've got amazing tools such as Facebook, and when you think about it, if you're a brand new company, you can start a Facebook page the same way that a multinational corporation can start a Facebook page, and with a very, you know, with very limited time and effort, you can build a small yet quite excited fan base of people that would like what you have to offer, no matter what business you are, whether you're the local plumber, which is an amazing opportunity to grow a local community, all the way through to a brand. And so what we did, we started this Facebook page, and we put it out there, and we said, hey, who would some of our customers like to give us some advice on what they're interested in looking at. And we set up what we called our VICs, our very important carrots, and we ended up doing what was our first VIC conference call, and we still do these calls regularly now where our customers get to tell us what they love and don't like about our products, where they get to tell us about what they're interested in. They get to tell us about their lives as well, and we became very close to our customers. So when we can literally turn around and say today that we are a customer-driven company because everything that we do, everything that we launch is based on their feedback. as the company's got bigger, we can expect, we can invest more and do a little bit more on focus groups. But as our fans will tell you, we still call out for those on Facebook. And it really is a way to level the playing field, to get answers, to shorten the time frame in order to get answers. And the budgets to do that are minuscule.
You know, the title of your book is Get Big Fast, and we've been talking a lot about that. But it's also And Do More Good. And let's talk a little more about that side. I know one of the things you emphasize is getting home and having a supper with your family and having time for other things rather than just growing fast.
Maybe even a little skiing.
Well, you know, I'm very, very excited about it. I'm actually going to be in Utah sometime in the next couple of months. I'm ridiculously excited about that. Some people believe that I'm going to start spending time with my family once I'm successful. Once the business has done this, I'm going to be able to have more time to spend with my family and friends. And, you know, for us, it went back a lot further back. In our first year, I was traveling about 200 days a year. I was not married at that point. I had my fiance. And what had happened is that I would come into the house at 7 p.m., and I would still be on the phone. I'd walk into in my study, which was otherwise known as basically a cupboard in our tiny apartment at the time.
I've been there. Not your cupboard, mine.
And I would, do my calls. I'd come out at around, 11 o'clock exhausted. I'd kiss my fiance on, and say hi, and would have I'd have almost a cold meal, and I'd be so exhausted that I'd pass out. One day I came home, and she was sort of sitting there, and she said, this is not going to work. If we're going to have, a wonderful relationship and a marriage and a family, I need a little bit more of your time. And the agreement that we made was that from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m., I was hers. No matter what it was, she didn't mind if we could be watching television, we could be having dinner, we could be playing Scrabble. It didn't really matter, as long as it was just our time together from 7 to 9 p.m. on the nights that I was home. And that made such a huge difference. It let me, my brain slow down. It let my relationship with her vastly improve. And today that's gone from 7 p.m. all the way through to the morning. I try not to, interact with my email and things like that all the way through to the morning. I have two wonderful children who I get to spend time with. And you know what? That little time, that 1 hour, that 2 hours makes a huge difference to your family. And you don't, it doesn't really matter at what level of success your company is or at what stage it is. In the end of the day, you've got to remember that if you are a family person, you're doing it for your family. And you want that success to be for your family, and they, what they really want is your time and to be with you.
So, that's one of the main points I got out of your book, really on the business side, the power, what I call the power of relationships. And that's a beautiful story you tell, and I think is an important story for all entrepreneurs because it can be time consuming. And it's important to maintain your family relations. On the power of business relationships, though, you've got a whole chapter, might even be two, on trade shows and how to build relationships at trade shows. And frankly, I think the book is worth the price of admission just on the advice you give on trade shows. Give our listeners kind of a preview of some of the things you talk about regarding making trade shows effective.
Well, we love trade shows. I've got to say that for me, a trade show is like going to Disneyland. And it's another one of those opportunities where we quickly realized that we're able to level the playing field. Here we could be almost, it's like being invited to the Super Bowl. Although you don't need to be pre-considered, anybody can go to these trade shows. You just got to pay for floor space to be at the trade show. And most of the people walking through the trade show are already used to seeing the big guys. So they know that the big guys are going to be there. They know that the big guys are going to invest money to be at those trade shows. But what we also found is that a lot of the big guys didn't invest major dollars there. They were using the same booth over and over again that they'd been using for 5 or 6 years. So what we did is that at a trade show, even if we could only afford a small space, we would make that space work for us like it was a Las Vegas casino. We would make it bright and fun and energetic, and it was going to be the most exciting place for somebody to stop off, even if we were just a 4x4 booth. It was going to be the most exciting booth at the show. We invested in the design of that booth. We got lots of our people there. We all wore the same shirts that had something funny and catchy on it. And what I also found amazing is that a lot of people that would come to the booth, they would come about, you know, just as the trade show was opening, and the people that were on the booth and they were leaving, you know, right as the bell chimed that the show was over, they'd be out the door ready, in the hotel for happy hour. What we found that if we arrived, this is like a secret that we don't usually, I don't even know if we mention in the book, but we would arrive half an hour earlier than anybody else. We would always leave half an hour to 45 minutes later than everybody else. And we would find that sometimes the most important people at the trade show were given an early access to the show, and that they would be walking before the main guys were walking through. Or they would just spend a little bit of time at the end of the show just to do that final walkthrough when most of the people had left the show. And we got some of our biggest accounts and built some of our biggest relationships at those shows just by doing those little things. And then afterwards, going and spending all night long whining, dining together, having fun, building relationships, not even talking about work, but just building true friendships with the people attending the trade show, because, you know, they want to hang out with the fun, new, exciting people. And, you know, we were able to really not only capitalize on that for our business, but have a great time doing it as well.
Having fun and building relationships. I think that's one of the secrets that's often lost in a trade show, because they can get mundane and you're standing on your feet for a long time. But I think that's great advice, because that's what people want. They want to have fun and they want to connect in a real sense with people. Ido, we thank you for joining us. Our guest is Ido Leffler. He and his business partner, Lance Kalish, wrote the book Get Big Fast, Do More Good. It's a story of optimism. It talks about the importance of courage and the power of relationships. Ido, thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's been my absolute pleasure. Thanks, guys. I'm praying for the snow.
Well, it's coming down. Actually, it started during our conversation.
Your prayers are working.
So we'll be ready for you when you make it. And we will be back to wrap up Mountain Money after this.
Hi, I'm Kelly from San Francisco Design, longtime supporter of KPCW. We provide a mix of European and mountain contemporary home furnishings for a unique Park City lifestyle. Our showrooms are in Park City and Salt Lake, and both offer complete design services. We're on the web at sanfrandesign.com.
Underwriting on KPCW is supported by Mountain West Bank in Park City, a community bank offering home financing service and guidance. Mountain West Bank is located near Kearns Boulevard next to the movie theater. More information at mountainwestbank.com. Division of Glacier Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Tune in to KPCW every Tuesday morning at 9 to hear This Green Earth.
We'll cover environmental issues from local to global, from snowpack to giant squid,
geothermal energy to gray wolves,
and honeybees to sustainable chocolate. Brought to you by Jones Waldo Holbrook and McDonough,
Republic Services,
Habitat for Humanities Restore,
and Rocky Mountain Power.
And as we wrap up the first Mountain Money for November, I want to thank our great guests. Devin Thorpe was in the studio with Mountain West Capital Network, along with Kurt Gentry of Radiate Media, Utah's fastest growing company. And I want to remind you, in this time slot tomorrow, it's This Green Earth with Chris and Nell. And they'll be interviewing award-winning director Robert Stone about his latest documentary, Pandora's Promise. This was in the 2013 Sundance Film Festival. It profiles a number of scientists and environmentalists who were once opposed to nuclear power, but now embrace it as an important means to reduce fossil fuel consumption, greenhouse gases, and climate change. So Pandora's Promise is getting its television debut on Thursday on CNN, another film grown out of the Sundance Film Festival. So Chris and Nell will be talking with the director of that film.
And next week, Larry, on Mountain Money, we're going to talk about women in business. We're going to have some successful women business people who live right here in Park City. So it'll be an interesting show.
And, of course, we have many women cycle through here. Anyway, but we will concentrate on that subject next week. And I want to thank our great sponsors, Park City Realty Group, Mountain West Bank, the Iron Mountain Group, Park City Chamber, Prudential Real Estate, and San Francisco Design. Thanks, guys, for sponsoring public affairs shows and especially Mountain Money, which we think is a pretty darn good show. So,
UBE award winning, right?
UBE award UBE winning. Award we winning. Got right. A silver UBE award in the last go round for
which is Utah Broadcasters
Utah
Association.
Broadcasters, and I don't know what EE stands for. I guess they needed to make it a word better than UB. So that's Mountain Money, and this is KPCW Park City.